I can't do this. This is hard. You've probably heard those words in your classroom, and the reality is that when a student says this is hard, what they really mean is this isn't easy. Oftentimes when things get hard or our students begin to struggle, they simply want to throw their hands up in the air and give up. Productive struggle is a really important part of the learning process and should be prioritized in every classroom. In this episode, we're going to talk about what productive struggle is, what it isn't, and I'm going to share three practical ways that you can use to make it a priority in your classroom. All right, I'm so excited to talk about this topic. Let's do this. Hey there, and welcome to A Meaningful Mess podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm your host, Andy McNair. I love sharing about and advocating for gifted education, talking about passion-based learning, aka Genius Hour, and just sharing practical ways to make learning meaningful for today's learners. If this is your first time to listen, please check out the trailer episode to learn more. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Here we go. Well, hey, and welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am really excited to talk about productive struggle. This is such a valuable, important piece of the learning process, and I honestly don't think it's talked about enough. Even though productive struggle is kind of a buzzword in the education community right now, the reality is we aren't talking about practical ways to make it happen. And so on today's episode, I'm going to talk about what productive struggle is, why it's important, and I'm also going to give you three practical ways to embrace and encourage, yes, I said encourage, productive struggle in your classroom. But before we do that, let's talk about why this is so important. You know, one of the things as an innovation specialist I hear often about this generation of learners is that they're spoon-fed and they're coddled. And I've shared this on the podcast before, but it bears repeating because I think this is just a perspective that is important for us to have. So that idea, that statement, today's learners are spoon-fed and coddled. If you take time to think about that, being spoon-fed and coddled are two things that are done to you. So the reality is, if we don't want them to be spoon-fed and coddled, there's a real easy fix for that. We just stop spoon-feeding and stop coddling them. So I was reading this article. It was from Edutopia. It's called The Neuroscience Behind Productive Struggle. Very interesting article. I'm going to link to it in the show notes so you can go check it out for yourself. They really talk about the brain science behind productive struggle and why it's so important. But they lead off with this example, and it just kind of blows your mind to hear this, but it reminds us of why productive struggle is valuable and why it should be a priority in the classroom. So they lead off with this example of there's two groups of learners. They took these two groups of kids, two groups of students, and the goal was for them to throw a beanbag and hit a target that was 3 feet away. So they took these two groups, and one group they let them practice on targets that were 2 feet and 4 feet away. So group one, practicing on targets that were 2 feet and 4 feet away. Group two got to practice on targets that were 3 feet away, right? The actual length that the challenge was going to be. And so when you think about that, you automatically assume that the group that got to practice on the actual target, right? The 3 foot target would be more successful. Well, you would be wrong if that's what you thought. And seriously, when I was reading it, I thought the same thing. But what they found was the group that was given the opportunity to throw the beanbag from 2 feet and 4 feet away, they had been given the opportunity to experience productive struggle. And because they had been given that opportunity, they approached the task with a different mindset. And it was that different mindset, that idea of that whole idea of productive struggle allowed them to be more successful. And so that in and of itself is a great example of why this is so important. So again, if you want to read that article from Edutopia, The Neuroscience Behind Productive Struggle, I'll link to it in the show notes. You go check it out. But bottom line is, it's a really valuable part of the learning process. And gosh, I remember when I was in the classroom, and so often when my students were struggling, especially when I worked with just gifted learners, when my students were struggling, I took it really personally. I thought that I must be doing something wrong, right? There must be something wrong with the way that I'm teaching if these guys don't get it. When nothing could be further from the truth, sometimes I needed to give them that opportunity to struggle so that they could work through it and they could reach that deep level of understanding that they needed. I think so often we think about that idea of, you know, have I taught it? Check. Have they learned it? Check. But the reality is, if they don't understand it, then none of that matters. And so I think productive struggle can oftentimes help them get to that deep understanding that we know is so important. And so I think, first of all, one of the things that we as educators have to do is to really shift our mindsets to, we're not the givers of information anymore. That's just not who we are in the classroom. The reality is, they have instant access to information in their pockets. Our roles have changed, and productive struggle is something that we have to get on board with, especially if you're in the gifted education community. Look, I want to be clear. I think that every learner deserves an opportunity to experience productive struggle. I also, let me address this now because I don't want to forget. I also think there is a difference between productive struggle and frustration. And you have to know your learners well enough to know what that looks like. It's kind of a fine line, right? And when you know the difference, it's easy to see when a student is about to cross over into frustration. And I think oftentimes that's when we as educators can intervene and offer support. But giving them an opportunity to work through this idea of, you know what, my teacher's not always going to come in and save the day, and I'm going to have to be comfortable with struggling a little bit, is really important. And so I'll go on to say that one of the things that I was going to say about the gifted education community is, we know that oftentimes when kids are not given the opportunity to struggle, maybe they breeze through elementary school, they breeze through middle school, and they breeze through high school, when they experience that first struggle, or maybe even that first failure, they have no idea how to handle that. And I would just say, like, my gosh, don't we want them to experience that while they have a support system? And so that we can teach them how to work through productive struggle and those feelings that they have when they're struggling. You know, I think so often it's easy for a parent to get frustrated with a teacher who is letting their kids struggle. I know I can be a mama bear. I definitely don't like for my kids to struggle. But what I've learned is that when they're given that opportunity, they become better, not just better learners, but better humans, right? And so this idea of letting them kind of sit and struggle before we intervene, and knowing the difference between productive struggle and frustration enough to know when it's important to intervene, I think is really important, because we don't want them to go to college and experience that first struggle and not know what to do with themselves. Because when that happens, I think there can be some really negative outcomes. We don't want them to go into their first career thinking that if they fail, there's something wrong with them. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so as we think about this, like I said, I want to give you three practical ways to not just embrace this idea. And what I mean by embrace is that it just becomes part of your classroom culture, that productive struggle is just something that your kids know that they're going to experience, that they're willing to invest in, and that they know will make them better. So we want to embrace that idea, and then we want to encourage it. So we want them to know that, hey, even if you're struggling, that doesn't mean that you're not smart. That doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. Oftentimes, it's in the struggle that the real opportunity to learn kind of happens. And so as we talk about these three things, I really hope that maybe you can take all three of them and use them in your classroom. Maybe you can only take one, but these make a lot of sense to me, and I hope they make a lot of sense to you as well. So let's get started talking about three ways to embrace and encourage productive struggle. Number one, and this is something that I learned from Don Wetrick. If you know my story, you know that Genius Hour, passion-based learning, really changed my career, changed everything that I did in the classroom. And this was one of the things that Don shared. And Don Wetrick was kind of my mentor. He, gosh, taught me so much about this process and what it could look like. And I heard him one time talk about this idea of a pre-mortem strategy. And I remember thinking, like, a pre-mortem, what in the world is that? And you may be thinking that as well right now if you haven't heard of this. But a pre-mortem strategy is actually a business strategy. Even more specific, it's a project management strategy. And it was founded and created by Gary Klein. And so the idea behind this is before a learner starts a project, they consider everything that could go wrong, right? So they're going to go ahead and think through, hey, these are the things that could kill my project, or these are the things that could cause my project to die. And I was doing some research on this and kind of thinking through why is this important as far as productive struggle goes? And here's why I think that this is a good idea, especially when it comes to projects. So if you are implementing, gosh, Genius Hour, passion-based learning, any type of PBL, project-based learning in your classroom, this is a really great idea. Before your learners start their project, have them think through independently or have them think through with the group they're working with, what could go wrong? What could cause our project to die before we even get started? And one of the articles that I read, and again, I'll link to these in the show notes, they talked about even kind of grouping the different struggles or the things that could go wrong into three categories. First, the first category would be showstoppers. So these are the things that if this happens, our project is done, right? Like this is what's going to cause us to be dead in the water. So those would be showstoppers. Another group would be, these are the things that are most likely to happen. These are probably going to happen and we need to come up with ways to address them. And then the last category would be if these are the things that we have no control over. Right? If these things happen, there's really nothing we can do about it. It's not something that we can address or consider. It's just, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. So giving kids an opportunity to think through those things, they may not think of every obstacle and they may not think of everything that could go wrong, but giving them an opportunity to consider, hey, what could cause us to struggle? Or ultimately, what could cause this project or this experience to fail, just helps them kind of recognize that that could be the reality. This could happen, but I can take a deep breath knowing that I've already planned for it. I've already thought about these things. I've already considered them. And so when they pop up, when it happens, I don't have to panic. I can just know that this is something I'm going to have to work around, I'm going to have to work through, and I'm going to have to think differently about in order to find a solution. And so I think that can really be a great strategy for kids who struggle with struggling, right? Who really don't like to struggle, is when they're getting ready to work on something that inevitably struggle is going to be a part of, give them an opportunity to think through that before they begin that experience or that project. So pre-mortem strategy, again, I'll put some articles in the show notes that you can check out to learn more about that. But I just think it's a really good idea and really simple to make happen in the classroom. Number two, model the value of productive struggle. So this one's hard. That means you're going to have to be okay with struggling as an educator. And I think one of the best ways that we can do this is to embrace this idea of us being the lead learner in the classroom, right? Being willing to, I remember specifically when we would do Hour of Code in my classroom, or my kids were coding for their Genius Hour projects or designing video games. My brain just doesn't work that way. I can't think that way. It's really difficult for me. And so when the kids would want me to sit down and do it with them, in my head, I would be thinking, I'm going to look like a complete idiot. I have no idea how to do this. But the reality is they loved seeing me struggle and they loved helping me through that struggle. Like, oh, Miss McNair, look, you can't do that. You've got to tell the computer exactly what to do. You skipped a step. Here, go back. And they would see me sometimes get frustrated frustrated. Like, what? I have to go back? Like, I want to just keep moving forward. But they were so supportive. But flipping the script and giving them an opportunity to lead you in your learning can be really beneficial. And it gives them an opportunity to see you model the value of productive struggle. If they only see you as their teacher preaching how important productive struggle is, but you're never willing to embrace it or experience it yourself, that's going to be really difficult for them to buy into. They're not going to think that it's something that they should embrace and buy into if you can't do that yourself. So just think through, what are some things that I could do in the classroom that I would genuinely struggle with? Right, that I would genuinely need some help with, and make that a priority. Let them see that. Be willing to ask them questions and learn from them, because when they see you modeling that, it becomes something very real for them. And I think something that they'll be much more willing to invest in and much more willing to approach with a different mindset. So modeling the value of productive struggle, another strategy that you can use. All right, number three, and this is a big one, celebrating the struggle. So not just modeling it, but you know, when a kid is struggling and they overcome that struggle, when they persevere or they push through and they have that success of, you know what, I didn't give up. I didn't throw my hands up in the air. I didn't just say, this is hard or I can't do this. I didn't stop because it wasn't easy. That deserves to be celebrated. And so I think there are lots of different ways you can do that. Just some really practical examples. I've heard of these things, and I don't know a lot about this, but I've heard of these things called fellathons. And what it is basically you just giving the people in the room, that would be your classroom, right? Your learners, giving them an opportunity to share struggles or failures that they've had that week. So maybe on Friday afternoon, you're just like, hey, let's just share out our struggles and our failures and how we've overcome those. I think so often we ask kids to stand up and share something that they did well. Like, hey, share something you're proud of. How about share something maybe that you're not proud of, right? Share something that, and here's the deal, it's actually something they should be proud of, because when they persevere, they overcome an obstacle. The reality is that is something that should be celebrated, even if it didn't result in an A, or even if it didn't result in the outcome that they expected in the amount of time that they expected it. That celebrating the struggle can be really powerful. One of my favorite ways to do this, and I don't know if you've heard of this strategy or not, but it's called my favorite no. There's a great YouTube video about this online. Again, I'll share that in the show notes. But my favorite no is where you ask kids to solve a problem or to respond to something that has an answer. And you divide, after they write on their index cards or wherever you have them respond, you divide them up into these are the correct answers, these are the yeses, and these are the incorrect answers, these are the no's. And instead of just celebrating the correct answers, you actually choose your favorite incorrect answers and you share why they're your favorite incorrect answers. Like, you know what, this isn't the right answer, but I love this because I like the way that your brain was thinking this way, or this isn't exactly what I was looking for, but I just hadn't thought of it this way. So letting them see that even if you don't get the right answer, that doesn't always mean that there shouldn't be an opportunity to celebrate. And so that's just another great way to make productive struggle a priority, is to celebrate the struggle. And my favorite no is a great way to do that. So whether you do a fellathon, in other words, on Friday, you give them an opportunity to share what didn't go well or didn't go as expected that week, or you use something like my favorite no, celebrating the struggle, I think can have a big impact on the culture of a classroom. I think this is really important for gifted learners as well, because so often they feel like they're always supposed to get the answer right. And when they start seeing that their right answers aren't the only things that are celebrated, it gives them freedom and it loosens up the atmosphere enough to, you know what, it's not a terrible thing if I don't know the answer. And the world is not going to end if I get the answer wrong. In fact, we might even actually celebrate that, because my brain may have been working in a way that was really exciting, even though I didn't get the right answer. So just thinking through that, I think those are really great ways to celebrate the struggle. So let me go through these again. First of all, pre-mortem strategy, asking learners what could go wrong and letting them address that on the front end, modeling the value of productive struggle and letting your learners see you as a learner, and then finally celebrating the struggle, giving them opportunities to actually celebrate when everything doesn't go as planned. Just three really practical things that I think you could use in your classroom to make productive struggle not only a priority, but give your learners an opportunity to embrace that idea so that it's not something that they see as a weakness or something that they see as an obstacle that they can't overcome. So again, I just can't say it enough. Productive struggle is such a valuable part of the learning process. And I think so often we talk about it, we just don't talk about what we can do about it. So my hope is that these three things are things that you can utilize in your classroom starting next week. And that they'll help you and they'll help your learners see that productive struggle can have a big impact. So as always, I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being a part of a Meaningful Mess community. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. I don't know when you're listening to this, but thank you again. And I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.